Bodywork by Silver Girl and read by Ghost of Nuggets Past. Summary. 5 times John became unbearably aroused while being massaged, and 1 time he absolutely didn't, which was all he needed to know. Notes for Scrub 456. Happy birthday to you, Scrub 456. I hope it's a lovely one. I'd never noticed I rubbed the back of my neck when in doubt or discomfort. The most observant man on the planet, however, certainly had. I did it unconsciously, bending my head while glancing up, covering my whole nape with my hand, unaware that it helped me play for time or conceal my expression or shield a supremely vulnerable spot. And since this physical habit was emphatically symbolic, Sherlock decided to pretend, at least, to take it as solely physical. "Here, John." He bundled me into a position on the sitting room floor with my back to the sofa, my shoulders pinned between his knees. I was still protesting and, "What are you on abouting?" wiggling to get free when he gave my arm a sharp pinch and said, "Sit still or it won't work." What work? And a stillness fell on my entire self, brain and body, as Sherlock tilted my head forward and touched my nape. Gently at first, just stroking the skin, because my neck muscles were like whip cords, so of course I shivered. Only when my shoulders started to lower did he start to press harder, his fingertips tracking the muscles down along the cervical spine. Occasionally he let out a hum of evaluation or curiosity or satisfaction. What I was feeling wasn't satisfaction. It was damn near bliss. His fingers, cool at first, electrified my skin. As they warmed, sent their heat sinking down into my very bone marrow. The skittering tingle along my skin slid out and down, raising goose flesh along my arms and hardening my nipples. When he turned his attention to my scalp, the spectrum of sensation intensified exponentially. I know I groaned when he caught what he could of my short hair and tugged lightly, firmly, pulling tension out of me through my hair, mad as that sounds. In that moment, I didn't care about a damn thing. I was completely relaxed and paradoxically completely aroused. This, too, cannot have escaped the notice of the most observant man in the world, but with rare tact he refrained from acknowledging it in any way whatsoever. As I slouched boneless, he slowed and stopped, then said, "When you need a neck rub, you know where to find me." He swung his right leg over my head and made to stand. I reached out a clumsy hand to touch his knee and said, "Thank you. I had no idea how much I needed a neck rub." Though it had been more than that. Dear God, so much more. It was a door opening, a light turning on, and a warmth kindling in my belly, and a page turning to a new chapter in a book already dearly loved. Did he have any idea? Yeah, of course he did. He's Sherlock. "You're a doctor, or so you always remind me whenever I ask you to do something beneath the dignity of your profession." Sherlock had that puckish expression that always made me want to shake him warmly by the throat. "Yeah, like dive into a skip, which is beneath the dignity of any profession, but what's your point?" He wasn't giving me space to make my R.T., so I limped around him, ostentatiously giving him the widest berth possible. "That you should know that your foot cramps are dietary in origin, for a man who can't stop nagging me about nutrition." The accuracy of his information wasn't a problem, but his complacent tone absolutely was. I put up a palm, warning. "If you say, 'Physician, heal thyself,' I will kick you, I swear." With a very poorly concealed smirk, the Burke said, "An empty threat coming from a man with a limp. You certainly could stand to boost your potassium and magnesium intake, but I was going to suggest a foot rub. I'm very good at it." I was tempted to refuse out of principle. Any favour offered with a smirk might well give the giver an unfair advantage, but Sherlock was good at massage. He'd proved that last week with his headache-banishing neck rub that left me weak with desire, but at least not with a headache. He saw me wavering, turned me, and pushed me toward the sofa. "I'll bring the tea. You lie down, and I'll take your feet to my lap." God, I just showered, but on Tiglish, I objected, how's this going to work? Setting our tea mugs on the table with a thunk and settling in, he said, first, socks, and second, the right pressure. It won't feel ticklish. But it will feel hot, I thought. No, sensuous. But the socks should muffle that. He started with my left foot, angry and sore after several attacks and night cramps. His firm hold, sensitive probing of the strained muscles in my arch and toes, gradual increase in pressure as muscle tension eased. Ugh. Sherlock was evicting the pain with the tension. Far from tickling, it felt sublime. As the pain disappeared, all that remained was pleasure. Shit. Oh, shit, shit, shit. I glanced up and saw Sherlock's eyes closed, brow furrowed as he concentrated on palpating now my right foot. Well, at least my growing interest could escape his notice while I fumbled to cover it with a cushion, because I really was quite insistent, this pleasure, swelling and building and overflowing until I was again weak with desire, barely able to keep from thrusting to find some friction, some resistance. When Lestrade buzzed Sherlock's mobile, I bounded up and lurched stiffly toward the bath, clutching my cushion. Oh, fuck, that was a bit obvious. Please God, let him be distracted with his seven while I take care of this fucking useless socks. We'd spent 2 hours digging a long, narrow trench at an abandoned warehouse site to retrieve some evidence Sherlock had deduced was buried there, and my hands were stiff and aching. I don't know what he has a network of spies scattered all over London for, if he couldn't even hire 2 of them to dig into iron hard ground like this. If I asked, he'd probably make another jibe about the dignity of my profession. Anyway, I think he likes it when he's just the 2 of us out and doing, like old times. He grinned and gloated when I hit the buried iron box and hauled it out, but his expression changed when he saw me rubbing my hands and wincing. Let's get home. I'll take care of that in the cab. Even he could magic up a cab in an abandoned warehouse site, so he lowered himself to ringing for one while I started to both crave and dread a handjob. Hand rub! For fuck's sake. My hands were warm from the exercise, but really painful, muscles quite unused to this kind of effort. We climbed into the cab with our 2 shovels in the box, and I relished the heat inside after our frozen work site. Sherlock took off his own gloves, and then mine, took my hands between his. This time he didn't probe for sore spots, maybe because everything was sore, he just held them as if waiting for me to relax. I didn't relax. Hands are already incredibly sensitive. This time I didn't even have the flimsy barrier of socks, hand socks, hand shoes? Gloves! Whatever. I was losing my language just from having my hands held motionless in Sherlock's, as he seemed to try to intuit where to start. He let my left hand go and started with my right, his thumb pressing lightly, then harder into the meaty base of my thumb. I groaned and flushed and cleared my throat. That's really good. Progress. I hadn't been able to talk at all the other times. Now I got out several syllables in order, in a voice almost recognizable as mine. Shh, don't talk. It fragments your attention. Oh, no, it doesn't. It was my only shot at distracting his attention from the flood of sensation taking me over entirely as he dug into the smaller muscles, extended the joints one by one, so gently, so carefully, and switched to my left hand where the need was even greater. Again, I felt my eyes drift closed, my body sag against his as he dug and stroked and tugged with absolute accuracy, silent as he always was when utterly focused on a non-verbal task. My sore hands were reborn, and so was my inconvenient erection, and the harder I got, the more my spine turned into jelly, and I just wanted to... "Wake up, we're home," he said softly. I pretended to rouse myself from a pretend sleep, caught a smile on his face that was almost tender. "You said if I needed a neck rub, I could ask?" "Of course, sit down." It's more my shoulder than my neck. Offer still good? An eye roll, a huff, obviously. Thank God, it's killing me. It wasn't killing me. It was just mildly annoying me. But I thought if Sherlock was willing to apply those clever fingers to it, I could test out a hypothesis that had been coalescing in my brain. Obviously, I was benefiting from and enjoying his massage techniques and his willingness to lend them whenever I needed. But I was also getting unreasonably aroused from contact that wasn't in any way lubricious. He was careful and meticulous, but in no way suggestive. Maybe it was the areas he was touching? Scalps, hands, feet, all intensely responsive. I wondered if he'd ever trained in reflexology. What if I asked him to massage a part of the body that isn't especially dense with nerve endings and isn't at all private, let alone erotic? My dodgy shoulder seemed the perfect test case. It was painful, yes, but it wasn't a bundle of responsive tissue like the other parts of the body he'd worked on. Since I was self-conscious about it, it would be harder for me to relax into arousal when he touched it. Because something had to give, it was becoming Pavlovian. Whenever Sherlock touched or brushed me for any reason at all, I'd found myself ludicrously aroused, unable to act like a normal adult. That was neither dignified nor sustainable. He settled me on the coffee table and stood behind me, not having to reach down too far or work around a chair back. He had me remove my jumper, and he placed his right hand on my shoulder blade and his left on my upper arm, taking the temperature, as it were, as he always did, feeling for tension and flinches without moving his hands at all. And just that. Just that was enough to speed up my heart rate, shallow my breathing, and definitely, oh fuck, get my cock stirring. He rotated my shoulder gently, just guiding me where he wanted it to go. Since it wasn't wildly painful, motion did absolutely nothing to depress my unwanted sexual reaction. Odd. How would you describe your pain? I'm not finding any obvious source the way I usually can. Oh, that was a question. One is supposed to answer questions. Right then. Well, it isn't just muscle tension or fatigue. It's a bundle of scar tissue in there. It's probably harder to just magically relax it away. That's how you describe my massage technique, is it? His voice went low and rumbly, and didn't that just jack up my... Because I did make a study, John. It's neither magic nor simply relaxation. I do know what I'm doing. No, Sherlock, you don't. You really don't. I think you'd be horrified if you did. If you knew what just this, your hands, your voice, your attention is doing to me. I needed to do a different experiment. So, I decided to see what happened when someone else touched me therapeutically. Might I be so touch-starved that I get hard from any contact at all? It had certainly been a while since I got a leg over. Now I thought about it, longer than I'd even realized. I needed to make a small but diverse sample set. A couple of people whom I found attractive, and a couple I didn't especially. And for scientific value, the same number of men and women. It wasn't a given that everyone would be up for doing me this favour, unawares, obviously. So I also scheduled a massage with a professional. Two professionals, actually. One a very fit bloke, one a knockout trans woman. First, Greg Lestrade. Nice man, easy on the eye, I've always thought. Not quick on the uptake, though, so I had to leave off hinting and ask him outright. He was glad to oblige, and he tried to be thorough, but the whole thing was no more erotic than a physio session for my shoulder. Next, Mike Stamford. I'd do anything for Mike. God knows I owe him. And I think he's very glad he set me up with Sherlock for flatshare. As he's a doctor, he wasn't disconcerted when I asked him to ease that aching muscle in my left hand. It even felt better after, but no sparks there either. Probably more chemistry with a woman, I thought. Sally Donovan refused, but not unkindly. She said she'd only ever had complaints on her massages. Molly Hooper. Deft hands, sweet smile, loads of goodwill, and only an idiot would doubt her knowledge of human anatomy. Arousal, 0/10. It's a lot more embarrassing to ask casual acquaintances to massage your foot than your shoulder, hand, or even neck. I ended up going to a foot reflexologist, which was incredibly gratifying and pleasurable, but to my relief, she had absolutely no effect on my libido. I did, however, learn an astonishing amount about how the nerves in the foot affect other parts of the body when the pleasure centers aren't being scrambled by arousal. I also learned that Sherlock does indeed have very good technique, arousal aside. My last two comparators were professional massage therapists, Evan trained in Japan, Lenore in Sweden. I had not realized that massage could differ so wildly. The English language has no business using the same word to describe such antithetical experiences. Both were good, no question. Both were practiced, professional, very clinical. No atmospheric scents or hypnotic music. Both left me completely relaxed and restored. And cold. That delicious bliss, that spreading warmth, that sensation of utter comfort and joy, followed by stimulation and, oh, there's no other word for it but lust. Intense and overpowering. That didn't come from massage. That came from Sherlock. And now that I know that, what the hell am I meant to do about it? Well, what the hell am I meant to do about it is a rather hopeless way to look at it. I've been given a dozen second chances at this life I have with Sherlock, and yes, I don't want to risk shattering it entirely. But my body appears to have a wisdom my brain's been lacking, or rather suppressing. And maybe if I'm very lucky, the most observant man in the world doesn't mind? Of course he noticed it, but he didn't react either positively or negatively. Maybe he's open to it. I'll never know till I get up the nerve to try. After all, I invaded Afghanistan. Ah, you're back from your massage, he calls from the kitchen. I go in to see what he's up to. Hot cocoa, not tea. Smells delicious. A good Swedish practitioner, I see. I've almost cut over wondering how he does that. Almost. What? Right, Lenore, yeah. She's great, but I've tried a couple now, and I've got this one I like loads better. A small furrow between the brows means confusion or displeasure, or both. Ty? Nah, I'm not sure he holds to any one technique. I call him more eclectic. You mean to see him regularly? Every chance I get. Well, when he's busy, I'm right here. You haven't asked me to help with pain relief in some time, though. He's trying to look nonchalant, bless him, but he isn't. He's a bit hurt. Shit. I was trying to work something out. I took an empirical approach, thought you'd approve. He looks a bit spooked when I move in closer. Why? He does it to me all the time. Did you succeed? His voice, too, is a bit uncertain. Halfway. I discovered what I don't want, and what I do, but I'm not clear on what you want, and what you don't. So, halfway successful. And with all the courage I possess, I put my left hand to his waist, then my right, look straight, well, up at him, and raise an eyebrow. You don't know what I want? Still sounding bewildered, but not at all reluctant. John, I've taken every opportunity to put my hands on you, to make you feel better, feel good, to show you that I want to do it. Yet you don't know what I want? Bewilderment may be yielding to the slightest tinge of exasperation. I've been thinking about this moment for so long, I could sink into a muddle of I thought you thought so, and I didn't know you wanted so, or even a, how can you be such an idiot? That last would definitely deflate my mood. He seems to think the same, takes me by the wrist and pulls me down the hall to his bedroom. Face down, John. Shirt off. Back rub. And he sits to soothing, stroking, massaging my back until I'm a trembling mass of want beneath him. In turn, I spend the rest of the night kissing, inhaling, caressing, seducing the man of my dreams. I'm no master masseur, but I think I made my case. Something to be said for this bodywork. The end. Notes. Okay, it's only a 5 plus 1 if you squint. Please squint. Also, a wincing apology to real LMTs who know where I was bluffing. You've been listening to Bodywork by Silver Girl and read by Ghost of Nuggets Past.